Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. On April 22, 2010, a 23-year-old hiker, Aubrey Sacco, was last seen on a narrow mountain trail in northern Nepal's Langtang National Park, a landscape of silent peaks, rushing rivers, and ancient forests. She shouldn't have vanished. She was experienced, prepared, and confident. A traveler who had already spent months exploring South Asia, teaching yoga, walking markets and monasteries, making plans to return home with stories of the world's beauty. But on that late spring afternoon, she didn't arrive at her next stop, just a couple hours down the trail from where she was last seen. There was no body, no sign of a fall, no gear left behind, no distress call. Nothing. Over the years, arrests were even made, then released. Leads appeared, then evaporated. An earthquake in 2015 would forever alter the very valley she disappeared in, burying landscape and possibility alike. So what really happened to Aubrey Sacco? A woman on a walk through the woods with everything to live for and so much life left unwritten. Let's begin untangling the mystery. To step into the Langtang National Park is to step into a world both ancient and alive, a place that has shaped countless journeys, including Aubrey's. Just north of Kathmandu, Langtang isn't as famous as Everest or Annapurna, but to many trekkers it feels more intimate, a Himalayan valley that doesn't shout its splendor, but invites you in, quietly and profoundly. And travelers come here for exactly that, accessibility, beauty, and cultural immersion. Unlike the more crowded Everett-based camp route, Langtang is less congested, offering room to breathe, to move at your own pace, and to see the mountains on your own terms. On a classic week-long journey up the Langtang Valley, trekkers climb steadily toward the Tibetan border. The path begins in shaded forests of oak and rhododendron, threads through fields and Tamang villages, and opens to towering Himalayan peaks that seem almost close enough to touch. Beneath the trees and the heights, you often catch glimpses of Langtang Larung, a towering summit that rises to 23,711 feet, its snowy ridges dazzling against the sky. What draws people here is more than mere scenery. It's the texture of the land and the life woven into it. The prayer flags that flutter in mountain breezes, the stone chortens marking hilltops, the deep spirituality that suffices every village and gampa, every whisper of wind through the valley. Now, almost every trekker reaches Kanjin Gampa, high above 9,800 feet, where the trail levels and the world opens in a wide panoramic sweep. Here, boiled yak cheese, salt-rich and intensely local, is a must-try delight, offered at small mountain cafes and shops around the village. Along the way, the brightly colored tea houses, humble, family-run lodges, sit nestled against the hillsides. In rooms with little more than simple wooden bunks with foam mattresses and blankets, trekkers rest after days of ascent. In communal dining halls warmed by wood or yak dung stoves, strangers swap stories and laughter over plates of dal bhat, Nepal's ubiquitous staple of rice, lentils, vegetables, and sometimes meat, eaten late into the evening like fuel for tomorrow's miles. Now here in these tea houses and settlements, visitors from around the globe weave their own stories into the high valley's narrative. College graduates and retirees, photographers and teachers, dreamers and families. And then there are those who seek something more. Spirit, meaning, connection to a world older than any guidebook might capture. Now for Aubrey, this was part of the allure. She walked onto a path that many describe as both forgiving and demanding, beautiful and humbling. At first, the valley feels almost gentle. Terraced farms slip into woods, prayer wheels turn with the breeze. The trail rises gradually and steadily, a pulse of earth you can follow with confident steps. But as you climb, the rhythm changes. Streams rush louder, ridges sharpen. Passing Lama Hotel and other small tea houses toward villages such as Langtang Village and onward to Cajun Gumpa. The air gets thinner and the world opens wider. And then, in April 2015, the valley itself reminded the world just how powerful it could be. Late in the tourist season, a 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Nepal, unleashing avalanches that swept through Langtang and nearby villages with terrifying force. Entire settlements were destroyed. More than 300 people died, including villagers and foreign trekkers alike, as landslides buried homes and trails in rock, snow, and silence. Langtang Village, near the center of the valley, was almost completely obliterated. Only one building survived the avalanche. And smaller settlements high above were struck too. And the roots that had once felt so familiar were transformed almost overnight into wild, fractured land. Yet, out of devastation, there was also determination. Families returned. Homes and tea houses were rebuilt from the ground up. The old village site now holds memorials to those who perished. Stone manning walls and chortens honoring lives lost and soil forever altered. While the new Langtang village rose just a little down the slope, safer and stronger, with modern lodges and community buildings supporting a revived trail network. The Kanjin Gompa Monastery, damaged in the quake, was restored by 2018. A local yak cheese factory resumed operations. Trails that once vanished under rubble were cleared or rerouted, now reinforced and welcomed by guides and villagers alike. Today, Langtang stands as both a testament to endurance and a living landscape of beauty and challenge. Trekkers still follow paths through forests and meadows, past prayer flags and tea houses, moving towards peaks that glitter in clean Himalayan air. Trails remain moderately difficult, a test of stamina and spirit rather than technical skill, inviting those who seek peace and perspective. Animals are at home here. Red pandas, Himalayan tars, and a myriad of bird species still roam patches of forest and high pasture. Blossoms fill meadows in spring, prayer wheels turn into hilltop gumpas, and for those who walk it thoughtfully, the trail isn't just a route between points on a map. It's a living story, stitched into memory with each passing mile. This cradle of earth and sky, with all its splendor and its scars, was part of Aubrey's journey too. She walked where others came, seeking quiet wonder and deep connection. And in that valley of peaks, rivers, and lives lived closely with ancient rhythm, her footsteps became a small but vivid part of the mountain's long, ongoing tale.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Before she disappeared into the misty trails of Nepal's Langtang Valley, Aubrey Sacco was, in every sense of the word, alive. Not just in body, but in spirit, color, and motion. She wasn't the kind of person who simply existed. She sparkled. Born into a life of intellectual rigor and deep family bonds, Aubrey was the only daughter of Paul and Connie Sacco, the middle child anchored between two brothers and cherished in a household shaped by curiosity and compassion. Her father, a respected business lawyer and judge in Colorado, raised her with a sharp mind and a kind heart. Her mother nurtured her creative instincts and sense of wonder. Together, they gave her roots, and she used them to stretch towards the sky. Aubrey's life was a tapestry of art and movement. She painted not just with brushes, but with music and texture and light. She could coax music from a violin, a guitar, a piano, instruments that seemed to resonate with her very heartbeat. She wrote songs and poetry, stitched blankets and dresses with her own hands, and turned every spare moment into something creative and beautiful. She was also endlessly curious about cultures, about ideas, about people. Her passport was already dotted with stamps from Greece, Panama, Costa Rica, Japan, Thailand, Sri Lanka, India, and eventually Nepal. Places she traveled not as a tourist, but as a participant in the world. She preferred the company of villagers and local travelers to five-star resorts, seeking connection over comfort, humanity over anonymity. Friends from her college years at the University of Colorado in Boulder remember her as Aubrey Glitter, not just for her habit of carrying a bottle of glitter and sprinkling it on everyone she met, but because that's exactly how she walked through life. A luminous blur of laughter, compassion, and joy. She organized campus dance events, ignited rooms with her zest for life, and lighted spirits simply by being present. She loved raves and dancing, the pulse of the music under starlit skies, the way people moved in harmony with sound. Yet over time, that same joyful energy drew her toward quieter horizons, meditation, philosophy, and the practice of yoga, which she both taught and studied. After graduating in 2009 with a degree in psychology and art therapy, she set out on what was meant to be a five-month journey of self-discovery in Asia, teaching yoga to children, immersing herself in Eastern culture, and connecting with those she met along the way. She wrote to her family about the vibrant colors of markets, the scent of fresh spices in the air, and the smiles she shared with strangers who quickly became friends. She embraced the world with enthusiasm and humility, always seeking understanding and shared experience. Her personal motto was simple and resonant: glitter the world. Not just a phrase, a philosophy, a way of being. To spread sparkle where there might be none. To remind others that life is meant to be lived to the fullest, with courage and laughter, and a willingness to see beauty in every corner of the globe and every moment we're given. And so, when Aubrey stepped onto that trail in Langtang National Park, backpack on her shoulders, heart open to whatever lay ahead, she carried with her not just supplies for a trek, but a lifetime of light that continues to shine in the memories of those who knew her, and in the hearts of all who hear her story.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
By the spring of 2010, Aubrey was nearing the end of a five-month journey across Asia. A journey she had planned carefully and lived fully, with a plan to come home on May 22nd. She kept in near constant contact with her parents, sending emails and updates from internet cafes and guest houses along the way. This trip wasn't an escape. It was a chapter. An earned pause after college, a deep breath before the next version of her life began. Back in December of 2009, Aubrey landed a job in Sri Lanka, teaching yoga classes at a high-end resort, an elegant, European-style destination perched near the Indian Ocean. It was the kind of place most travelers only pass through. But Aubrey stayed for about 3 weeks, teaching, practicing, and absorbing everything around her. She loved the rhythm of it, the mornings, the movement, the way yoga connected people who didn't even share a language. But Aubrey wanted more. Friends had told her about deeper, more intensive yoga study in India. And she wanted to continue learning, to become not just a teacher, but a master of teaching. So she left Sri Lanka and headed north. Along the way, she collected moments the way some people collect souvenirs. In Sri Lanka, she once searched for octopus in the Indian Ocean with a boy she had a crush on. In India, she volunteered at an orphanage and studied yoga at an ashram in Mysore, where the heat was heavy and constant, and the days were filled with sweat, breath, and discipline. When the heat became too much, she traveled north to Darjeeling, chasing cooler air. It was there, on a hostel rooftop, that Aubrey saw the Himalayas for the first time. Vast, white, immovable. She stood there, looking out at the wall of mountains, and she decided she had to go. Nepal wasn't on her original plan, but it became the place she couldn't not see. It was April, one of the most beautiful seasons in Lingtang Valley. The days climbed into the 70s. The hillsides were painted with red, pink, and purple rhododendrons. The Lingtang River, swollen with snowmelt, thundered over waterfalls and crashed around massive boulders, loud, alive, and impossible to ignore. Aubrey arrived in Kathmandu, left behind what she wouldn't need, her computer, her big luggage, then took a bus to Saya Brubesi on April 20th. The next day, April 21st, she started her solo hike into Lingtang, planning to follow her Lonely Planet guide. And she expected to be back in Kathmandu sometime between April 30th and May 1st. Walking down a two-track road, she reached a simple open-air checkpost staffed by a Nepali military policewoman. Now, thousands of trekkers pass through that very spot every year, but Aubrey stood out. The soldier would later remember her clearly. Aubrey signed the register, flashed a wide, toothy smile, walked to the checkpoint, and waved. She headed north into the valley, moving through sun-drenched hillsides and mist-filled hollows, past farms ringed with wild marijuana plants. The trail was busy with life, porters bent under loads of rice and fuel, trekking guides leading clients, villagers in colorful kurtas and donated puffy jackets. The porters, carrying twice their body weight, probably didn't notice her, but the Tamang women, carrying their own heavy loads, might have smiled back. And everyone who knew Aubrey agreed. If there was a chance to smile, she took it. By 10 a.m., she'd covered a distance that usually takes 4 hours. She arrived at the Namaste Tea House, a red block building perched above the river. She may have sat on the sun-warmed deck, listening to the water below, taking in the view, letting the mountains settle into her bones. While she lingered there, she met a young trekking guide named Renzin Dorji Yonzin, who grew up in the Lingtang village and guided tourists during breaks from his studies at Kathmandu University. Locals later said the two hit it off. They talked for hours about travel, volunteering, Tamang culture. They talked about the possibility of Aubrey volunteering with school children in Kathmandu after her trek. And at one point, Renzin gave her a book called Ethnic Groups in Nepal. Later, they went to separate rooms, and according to some accounts, maybe to the same room. Only the two of them know what really happened that night. The next morning, they hugged, promised to meet again in Kathmandu in 2 weeks. Then they went in opposite directions. Renzin hiking down the valley, Aubrey heading up alone. The trail narrowed above Namaste, and crossed the Lingtang River on a suspension bridge. From there, it switchbacked up a steep, soft dirt hillside. exactly the kind of place where someone could slip and tumble into the churning rapids below. But witnesses later said Aubrey didn't fall there. They saw her hours later, still moving forward. She reached Lama Hotel. Not really a hotel, but a cluster of half a dozen tea houses, with a vegetable garden, prayer flags, and a tent platform overlooking a deep shadow valley. She may have aired out her feet or layered up against the cold air rising off the Silver River. Locals later said they saw her eating a pizza, drinking a Coke, and holding the book Renzin had given her. Inside the Serpa Lodge, she sat at a long wooden table. Three young men, late teens, early 20s, started talking with her. Now, at first, it was lighthearted. But when Aubrey said she wanted to continue to the next village, Riverside, the tone reportedly changed. It was early afternoon. The men told her Riverside was too far to reach safely that late in the day. This was Aubrey, who once described herself in her journal as a strong traveling woman. So she spread her map out on that table, and when they tried to stop her again, she stood up, pointed up the valley, and said, "Riverside is only an hour from here. Don't lie to me." And then she walked out. The hike from Lama Hotel to Riverside usually takes about 2 hours. When trekkers arrive, they're encouraged to sign a register. Aubrey never signed it, and there's no evidence she ever reached Riverside. Now, if she kept going, the next stop would have been Gora Tibela, another 2 hours up the trail, where there's an army checkpost with a mandatory register. But she never signed that either. Somewhere between Lama Hotel and Gora Tibela, Aubrey disappeared. Now, at first, her parents waited. She was supposed to be out of contact until the end of the month. But as the days passed, worry crept in. Connie Sacco contacted the U.S. Embassy in Kathmandu. She was told that civil unrest, a Maoist uprising, might have delayed Aubrey in the mountains. But after 3 more days with no word, worry turned into panic. On May 4th, Connie called again and reported her daughter missing. On May 16th, Paul Sacco flew to Kathmandu, vowing to bring his daughter home. He was joined by his older son, Crofton, then 25. They stepped into a search already underway and expanded it. They hired private search and rescue teams. They arranged local TV interviews. They pushed. They pleaded. They refused to let Aubrey fade into paperwork. Between May 4th and July 1st, more than 200 people searched the Langtang Valley, by air, by foot, and by rope. They combed the main trail, both sides of the roaring river, smaller side paths, and remote monasteries tucked into the hills near the Tibetan border. Still, nothing. On June 6th, Paul and Crofton left Langtang. Crofton flew back to Colorado. Paul stayed behind in Kathmandu, scheduling interviews, meeting with police and embassy officials. He Skyped Connie and told her, his voice breaking, that he wouldn't be coming home with Aubrey. In July 2011, Paul returned with Connie and their younger son, Morgan. They trekked up the valley themselves. Inside the dim, hazy Sherpa Lodge, they questioned the owner, the cook, and one of the boys, Tasi Gurung, all of whom had previously said they saw Aubrey. Now, their stories changed. The owner and the cook claimed they'd never seen her. Tasi said, "We don't remember seeing this girl, but if we had known she was going to go missing, we wouldn't have let her leave." When the Sakos tried to question the cook again, the owner's wife screamed at him not to answer. The search didn't stop. More than 2 years after Aubrey vanished, 76 soldiers were sent back into the valley to look for her. More than 3 years after she disappeared, Paul and Connie kept her cell phone number active so they could call it, hear her voicemail, and leave her messages. Messages full of love, messages full of hope, messages no one could answer. In April 2013, exactly 3 years after Aubrey went missing, Paul and Connie returned to Nepal again, just to remind officials they had not given up. And then, 3 months later, they got a call. On July 31st, 2013, a man named Dawa Lama phoned to say police had arrested three men and that they had confessed to murdering Aubrey. An undercover officer had befriended one of them. That man had implicated two others. Newspapers reported that one suspect had Aubrey's camera. Others said pieces of her clothing were found in another man's home. The three men were handcuffed and marched out of Langtang. The news spread fast. But by the next morning, August 1st, another call came. The police inspector had doubts. The main suspect changed his story. He started naming people who didn't exist, and there was no physical evidence. No body, no proof. After 28 days, all three men were released, and the mystery remained. To this day, the Sacco family has driven the longest and most expansive search for a missing trekker in Nepal's history. And still, somewhere in those mountains, Aubrey's trail simply stops.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
In a mystery like Aubrey's, where there are no well-worn answers and no body, the void doesn't stay empty for long. Into that silence, stories rush, some sensible, some rooted in fear, some hopelessly tangled in myth and rumor. And they say as much about the unknown as they do about the people who tell them. At the heart of this uncertainty, there are two very different truths that many people return to when trying to make sense of where Aubrey might have gone. One theory, whispered by those who have spent years looking into the case, is foul play, and not at the hands of some faceless stranger, but by those who were entrusted with safety. Some of the climbers and aid workers in Nepal have pointed at young army soldiers who act as rangers in the national parks. Men with reputations, whether earned or imagined, for abusing local women and foreign truckers alike. It's a chilling thought, and it sits uneasily because even if there's no concrete proof, the context of mistrust lingers. Stories of harassment and assault on isolated trails are not unheard of in Nepal, and they feed a very human fear that a bright, courageous young woman could have met the worst kind of violence from the very people meant to protect these mountains. Now, on the other hand, there's the mountain itself, ancient, indifferent, and breathtakingly unforgiving. Some say that Aubrey simply fell victim to the treacherous terrain. Langtang's trails hug steep banks. They cross churning glacial water time and time again. And they wind into blind corners where a misstep could mean a fall into roaring rapids or plunge down a slope no one follows. That's a theory that makes logical sense, because this was terrain that had claimed others before her. The Himalayan landscape is gorgeous, but it's also merciless. And yet, as searchers have pointed out, that theory leaves too many gaps. If Aubrey had slipped and been swept into the Langtang River, her gear, bright and buoyant, should have been found somewhere along the banks. It wasn't. And then there are the theories that drift into the surreal, the bewildering, and the painful. The ones that are born more of shock and rumor than evidence, but that nonetheless circulated among locals and expats alike. Some villagers claimed they saw Aubrey board a helicopter in Langtang Village, as if she had simply disappeared into the sky and vanished from the earth. Others told darker stories about men who walk the hills at night, hunters who kill not just animals, but people too, slipping from shadow to shadow as the stars wheel overhead. There's an expat who insisted her disappearance was sacrificial, the work of witches who worship the Hindu goddess Kali, a deity of death and transformation. Others whispered that Aubrey was being held by lamas in remote monasteries, spiritual captives hidden away for reasons no one could explain. A different rumor spoke of sex traffickers snatching her from the mountains and spiriting her all the way to Pakistan. A teenager from a Tamang village claimed, with a seriousness that must have broke her heart to utter, that three boys had buried Audrey beneath a pile of rocks where forest gives way to dun-colored tundra. And then there were also voices that whispered blame back at her, not as an explanation, but as a reflection of deep, painful cultural bias. Several Nepali men, in the aftermath of her disappearance, suggested in no uncertain terms that Audrey had acted too free and frank, and that openness must have invited her own rape or murder. It's a theory born not of evidence, but of prejudice. A toxic narrative that seeks to make sense of tragedy by casting blame on the victim, instead of confronting the haunting reality that someone could simply vanish without a trace. And then there's the possibility her own family instinctively fears, even as they refuse to let go of hope. Her father, Paul, a man whose life has been defined by advocacy, focus, and an unbreakable love for his daughter, told a backpacking news outlet something that chilled hearts around the world. That he had come, after years of searching, to believe there was a chance Audrey had chosen to disappear, to renounce her old life entirely in pursuit of spiritual freedom. He spoke of the teachers she admired, of how she'd been reading Osho and Muji, gurus who emphasized detachment and inner liberation. He said, almost in a whisper, that if she had walked into another life, he would someday understand it. He might even forgive it, but that would forever change the relationship they shared. But when you think about the real Audrey, the daughter who called or emailed her mother every day of her trip, the one who wrote, "I love you, Daddy Pooh," in her last letter, the one who recorded three songs for her dad before leaving home so he could cope while she was far away, that theory feels like a ghost trying to fill the empty space. This was a young woman whose life was tangled in love and connection, not abandonment. A woman who savored the world's beauty and carried pieces of her family's heart with her across thousands of miles. None of the theories, not the soldiers, not the landscape, not the helicopters or the traffickers or the witches, can be confirmed. None offers closure. Some are rooted in fear, others in grief, and all of them speak to our desperate human need to explain what cannot be explained. In the end, what lingers isn't just question after question. It's the echo of a life that should have returned home and didn't. And in that silence, we are left to wrestle not only with what might have happened, but with what it means to lose someone whose fate is still stubbornly unresolved.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Walking into the Himalayas, especially alone, is as much an act of faith as it is of adventure. Mountains don't promise kindness. Valleys don't guarantee welcome. But what they do offer, for most who come, is an experience that reshapes the soul. Snow-peaked panoramas, ancient paths threaded with prayer flags, meals shared with strangers who become friends, and sunsets that paint the clouds with fire. And yet, even in places of great beauty, danger can lurk. And not just in the land itself, but in the context travelers carry with them. The assumptions they make, and the choices they take for granted. Long before Audrey Sacco disappeared into Langtang Valley in April 2010, there were warnings, formal, clear, and repeated. Up until 2011, the U.S. State Department maintained an active travel warning for Nepal. Not a do not go, but a be aware, and especially be aware if you're trekking alone. The heart of the warning was this. Solo trekking can be dangerous, and the lack of available immediate assistance has contributed to injuries and deaths, while also making one more vulnerable to criminals. The warning didn't say Nepal was lawless or that danger was everywhere. On the contrary, The violent crime rate in Nepal is lower than in the United States overall. Backpackers, climbers, and trekkers often describe Nepali people as warm, generous, and welcoming. More than 100,000 foreign hikers visit Nepal every year, and the vast majority enjoy exactly the experience they hoped for. Majestic scenery, friendly culture, and stories they'll tell for a lifetime. But numbers like that can also create a kind of false sense of security. An assumption that because most people come home with photos and memories, nothing could ever happen to me. And yet, even before Aubrey's disappearance, there were incidents that raised real concern. In the years leading up to 2010, on trails considered popular and well-traveled, a number of foreign women, including U.S. citizens, were attacked and seriously injured while trekking alone. The U.S. warning specifically pointed to assaults on solo trekkers as a pattern serious enough to merit caution. So serious, in fact, that the Nepali Ministry of Tourism once proposed a ban on solo trekking altogether, a move that ultimately failed, but only because enforcement in Nepali's rugged, remote regions is extremely difficult. The idea behind the ban was straightforward: reduce risk by encouraging company, communication, and support on the trail. Instead of banning, the ministry strongly recommends that solo trekkers hire local guides, usually around $20 a day. And the reasoning is simple. Guides know the terrain. They speak the languages of the region. They can spot risk before it becomes a disaster. And they are witnesses, companions who make solitude safer. And yet for many independent travelers, that recommendation feels optional, until it isn't. Compare this to the everyday reality of Langtang, a trail once lined with farmers' fields and Buddhist monasteries, a valley dotted with tea houses where strangers gather for dal bhat and stories, steep river crossings where a misstep could send you tumbling. The landscape itself demands respect. One wrong turn, one weak ridge, one high water crossing, and aid is not immediately on hand. In more recent years, after the 2015 earthquake, the terrain became even more unpredictable, with rerouted paths, unstable slopes, and areas where everything from rockfall to weather can turn sudden and sharp. And then there are the human risks, not just crime, but isolation itself. Trails that wind out of sight in minutes. Villages that are hours away from medical help. Cell service that can disappear like the mist. On these paths, even a sprained ankle can become a serious emergency. So, how do experienced trekkers stay safe? Hire a guide. Not just a voice on the trail, but a local guardian of knowledge. Someone who knows the way, the weather, and the risks that don't make it into the guidebooks. Travel in pairs or groups. The single biggest safety factor is another human being with you. Someone who sees what you don't, who speaks up if something feels wrong, or who can act if you are injured. Tell someone your plan and stick to it. People should know where you should be and when you should be there. Be culturally respectful and aware. Respect local customs and dress codes. Carry the essentials, navigation tools, first aid supplies, sufficient food and water, and emergency contact info. Because in remote areas, even a short delay can escalate quickly. No checklist can eradicate risk. No set of precautionary promises perfect safety. But the mountains and the park respond to preparation. They respond to awareness, respect, and the understanding that we are guests here, not masters. And then there's the human element. The way travelers imagine themselves in these landscapes. It's easy to forget, in the calm of the valley or the glow of the sunrise over ridges, that risk and beauty often walk together on the same narrow path. Now, Aubrey knew that trail. She chose it. She loved the world and the people in it. The light in the sky, the beat of her own footsteps on earth. But the valley doesn't give answers in neat packages. And for every traveler who comes home with photos and laughter and bright memories, there are stories like hers that remind us beauty can be dangerous and freedom can carry risk. And in those mountain shadows where history and hearts intersect, we find not only wonder, but the weight of choice and the echoes of lives lived in full view of the sky. Aubrey Sacco didn't set out to become a mystery. She set out to see the world, to learn, to connect, to move through it with curiosity and courage. She walked into Langtang National Park like so many travelers before her, drawn by the mountains, the culture, and the promise of something bigger than herself. And then she vanished. We've talked about the trail she took and the theories that circle her disappearance. We've also talked about what Nepal represents to so many travelers, a place of extraordinary beauty and real risk, and why stories like Aubrey's matter, not just as mysteries, but as reminders that every name in a headline belongs to a real person, to a family still waiting for answers. If this story stays with you, here's what you can do. Learn more about Aubrey's case and other missing travelers. Support organizations and families searching for their loved ones. Travel thoughtfully. Pay attention to safety guidance and look out for each other on the road. And share this story, not as a rumor, not as a spectacle, but as a way to keep Aubrey's name and her life from being forgotten. Because Aubrey wasn't just someone who disappeared in the mountains. She was someone who lived fully, brightly, and bravely. And she deserves to be remembered. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod, and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.